Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIWFM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I've guest across the way, but before we get to him, we've got a special treat here as we're going to give away some tickets. Not on the air. I'm going to want you to make a phone call to the business office. Well, I've got tickets for Saturday's game. This Saturday's Illinois versus Maryland game. Now, you can grab your cell phone if you want there, guest.
I'm going to be gone Saturday.
You're going to be gone Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's too bad.
Yeah, we'll
be gone. Illinois is playing Maryland Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock up in Champaign. So a perfect afternoon to head up to Champaign. By that time, all the ugly weather that they're talking about will be gone. It'll be just fine. Illinois, Maryland at Illinois, Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Make a phone call. We're going to take the fifth caller to 842-2159. Fifth caller to 842-2159. That's the business office here. Talk to Aunt Terry and the number five caller. She's going to give a pair of tickets to. It's just that easy. To make people's dreams come true there, Mike.
It's fantastic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on the other side, the Wayne County Sheriff, Mr. Mike Everett. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you this morning?
I am outstanding, trying to stay dry.
Yes.
But, you know, that brings up something that I hadn't really thought about. You don't usually have to think about it in January, but it's really kind of something that your deputies have mm-hmm. to keep in mind all the time.
Sure.
We've got rain in the forecast today, tomorrow. Had rain yesterday. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, freezing rain Friday. Rain Saturday, Sunday, Monday. There's always, and folks need to keep this in mind, there's always the chance for water that you don't expect to find come across the road. I mean, folks need to keep that in mind, don't they?
Well, they do. And you know, there are places that if people live in the areas, you know, some of the low-lying areas, they understand where water is going to be and where it's not going to be. But even there are those times where I know when I was
younger,
I had an accident south of Browns. I was coming home on the blacktop south of between Browns and Grayville. Water was.
Wait a minute. I know that blacktop. Where does water come across that?
Well,
I can't imagine. I think that's high enough that you wouldn't have a problem.
It was right before you get to Browns, not far south of Browns on the blacktop.
It's just so flat there,
right.
Water came across. Huh?
And that blacktop was, it was at night, and the blacktop, it was all wet looking,
yeah.
And I didn't know there was water over the road till I got to it and totaled a vehicle and messed myself up pretty good.
Did you really? What
yeah.
happened? I don't remember that.
Hydroplaned, turned around, hit a tree backwards going about 50.
That's a bad thing.
Yes, it was bad. I had a little Toyota pickup at the time.
And yeah.
The bed wrapped around the cab of the truck, and it was an ugly deal.
Well, you see, now that's the thing. Your deputies, now granted, they all have their patrol areas, but mm-hmm. do most of your deputies have a particular area that they patrol, or do they follow around the entire county?
Yeah, they just wander around all over. There's no set patrol areas. We've done that before, had like a north patrol area, south patrol, but with the amount of guys we have on,
yeah.
A lot of times it's just...
You might find a deputy in north of Keens,
right.
Between Keens and Orchardville or something,
right.
And then you might find him the next night on the way to Wynoos.
Right. You just never know where they're going to be. So, and there's a lot of those kind of roads out in those areas. The old blacktops, when they're wet, you don't know how slick they are. You don't know if there's, you know, it doesn't take a lot to hydroplane and
well, you know,
lose
that's,
control.
That's the thing. You're talking about that Browns blacktop. I'm sitting there, I was trying to think where the water could even get across because there's no real, the bone paw's already gone. It hadn't hit it yet, but
right.
I guess it's just water leaking down to it.
It was just full ditches,
yeah.
and it hadn't rained where I was at, so I wasn't paying that much attention, but evidently it rained at home, and it was a bad deal.
Well, you know, and what was it last fall or last winter? We had there was the lady who was on her who was looking at her GPS
mm-hmm.
device,
mm-hmm.
and that was up in northeastern Wayne County, and mm-hmm. she it took her into a kind of an odd and a bad spot, didn't
right?
It?
And that's the thing about those, you know, it's. it's not taking any of those things into account when you follow your, whether it be
your GPS doesn't know it's raining.
Right. So they're going to take you into places. And if you pay too much attention to that little screen, instead of watching where you're going, it'll take you into backwater or down a road that it may be muddy, you may get stuck, you know, any kind of thing like that.
Well, and if you do accidentally get caught in backwater, I guess the smartest thing to do, you need to stay in your vehicle, don't you?
This time of year, absolutely. You know, with the water temperatures the way they are, the elements outside, the air temperature, unless it's just a situation where you absolutely cannot
have to get up top, yeah.
Stay in your car. You know, try and know where you're at. You know, a lot of times we will get calls, or 911 will get calls. People, you'll ask where they're at. Well, I don't know. Try and look at the road numbers as you're driving. Know where you're at, or at least a general vicinity of where you're at. And this is another thing where people come from other places and they're following a GPS. You know, we've been down in the southwest part of the county looking for a guy, followed his GPS and then got lost. It's at night. He can't see any roads. He can't see anything else. And
where was he?
It was just north of the interstate.
North I-64?
North of I-64, down there between, you know, down south and west of Sims.
Okay. So down there where it's mainly gravel road turning into dirt.
Right. Gravel roads and low-lying areas as well.
So. Yeah, down by Lakeside Bridge, mm-hmm. west of Lakeside Bridge,
right.
probably.
Right.
That is the thing, though. When you look at GPS, I mean, you can go on Google. I can go on Google right now and take a look at the map of southern Wayne County.
Mm-hmm.
And the roads look fine.
Sure.
The roads look pretty good.
Sure.
If you drive from Mayberry all the way across southern Wayne County, try to get to Barnhill,
mm-hmm.
that's not that good a road.
No, and it's not easy to do.
No.
It's not.
But if you're looking at it on the GPS, it says you can do that.
Oh, sure it does. You know, it also says, you know, I was down on Seven Hills Road here not too long ago in southeastern Wayne County, and there's a bridge out down there that you can't get across to get farther west onto Seven Hills if I was coming off of Ditch Bank.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just little things that you don't realize until sometimes it's too late.
Well, for that matter, I was coming home from had plenty of time. I'd taken the country way home over Thanksgiving weekend from the basketball tournament, mm-hmm. up in Bridgeport.
Right.
I cut across on 161, and I'm just minding my own business. Well, let's drive through the country, and took off south there in between Mount Airy and the Enterprise Road. And I'll be darned, there's no bridge across the river anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the bridge is there, but it's out, I guess.
Right.
The Elm River there is, I don't know how long they're working on that or if they are working on that.
Well, like I said, there's just different places, and you just be aware of what you're doing and where you're going, and pay attention to your surroundings, and that makes things a whole lot easier.
Well, you know, the tricky part is I was looking at my GPS as well, and it had me going that way. I knew the bridge was there.
Right.
And I just didn't know it was out. Why would I ever go that way?
Right, exactly. And if you don't travel that way very often, then that's when a lot of times people run into issues.
But that's when you'll run into more issues in weather like this.
Yes.
In this season than you will in late November or something like that.
Yeah.
I'll be doggone. I hadn't really thought about that. And so now, stay with your car. But if you can't stay with your car, what do? Climb on top?
Just get up out of the water.
Just try to get it out of the water.
Right. Stay as dry as you can. Like I said, with the elements the way they are, it doesn't take long in this kind of weather. Even on a day like today when it's supposed to be, you know, maybe in the 50s, that water's going to be really cold and that air is going to get to you pretty quick.
Well,
and hypothermia wouldn't take long.
Well, you're right. We just went through a full week under 32 degrees.
Right.
Under
right.
freezing. And if the water's flowing right now, it's got to be pretty chilly.
It's going to be chilly.
I'll be dog. I'm talking with Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We're talking about all kinds of different things today. You are listening to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Hold on just a second. Hey, Terry, did you get rid of the tickets yet?
Nope.
Nope. Oh, she's still taking calls, so give her a call at 842-2159 to get those Illini tickets, because if you don't get them, I've got nothing going on this Saturday, Mike. I'm just telling you. If somebody doesn't get those tickets, I might end up heading up there. That's something that might happen. Again, if you like those Illinois tickets for this Saturday against Maryland, 5 o'clock game, give Terry a call at 618-842-2159. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a minute.
I was running through the summer rain, trying to catch the evening train and kill that old familiar pain, weaving through my tangled brain. But when I tipped my bottle back, I smacked into a cop I didn't see. That policeman said, "Mr. Cool, if you ain't drunk, then you're a fool." I said, "If that's against the law, tell me why I never saw a man locked in that jail of yours who wasn't just as low-down poor as me." Well, that was when someone turned out the lights, and I wound up in jail to spend the night and dream of all the wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds. Well, I woke up next morning feeling like my head was gone and like my thick old tongue was licking something sick and wrong. And I told that man I'd sell my soul, something wet and cold is that old cell. That kindly jailer grinned at me, all eaten up with sympathy, then poured himself another beer and came and whispered in my ear, "If booze was just a dime a bottle, boy, you couldn't even buy the smell." I said I knew there was something I liked about this town, but it takes more than that to bring me down, 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 'cause there's still a lot of wine and lonely girls in this best of all possible worlds.
Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My guest across the way is Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We're talking about all kinds of different things. We've been talking about getting rid of or making sure that you're making sure you know where you're going out in this kind of weather out on the especially the country roads that might. Well, you see, that's the thing. I was going down to the El Dorado Holiday Tournament on the day, 2 days after Christmas? Day after Christmas. Had that rain, that big heavy rainfall that morning. Went through water on the way down there. Mm-hmm. On 45.
Sure, right there before you get to infield.
That's right.
Yeah, it's terrible right there by that little substation is usually pretty bad.
Yeah, so you always have to keep an eye out, especially in this kind of weather. How's the population? What do we got going on at the jail right now? How many folks you got?
20, I think, this morning.
20? Yeah. That seems kind of high. Is that because your capacity is, 32 or something?
Yeah, 34. We've had an uptick here in the last month or month and a half. So it's been as high as 28 here lately. So it's been full.
Is that typical for wintertime?
You know, I've been going through some stuff at the office and going through numbers over the last 2 or 3 years.
You have to take all this into consideration as you're figuring your budget numbers for the year.
Right. And, I've looked at lots of different months from 14, 15, and 16, and you just never know. You may have a month where you may average 12 or 13 for the first week or two of the month, then you've got 28 and 29 in the last week of the month. So it just ebbs and flows. It's just the nature of the beast.
I'm surprised it's not more seasonal than that. I guess you just never can tell.
It does run a little bit that way, but you know in summertime you'd think we would be pretty busy, and there are months or weeks in the summer where you might have 12.
Yeah.
So it's just comes and it goes.
Just comes and goes, yep. And everybody gets their food and all that kind of stuff. And
oh, yeah. That's the best TV dinners you can buy.
The best TV dinners available in humankind. That's exactly right. Okay, we had a request.
Okay.
We had a request to talk about earthquake preparedness. What should folks have maybe, well, not just earthquake preparedness, but what should folks have in their vehicles, you think, in case of like stranding or something like that?
Well, I'd say the earthquake preparedness would probably be better answered by Jeff Jake, the director of the EMA here in town. Jeff's fantastic about that sort of stuff, disaster preparedness. But, you know, common sense would dictate at the house, you know, have some sort of water, potable water, mm-hmm. where you can have something to drink, flashlights, batteries, some sort of radio, where you can have communication from the outside in case
right.
the power goes out.
Well, see, now that's the thing. A lot of times you won't be able to charge a cell,
right.
maybe.
Right.
Or cell phone towers might not have power themselves either.
Right.
And you got to figure that phone lines, something in a case like that might be down.
Well, with so much being buried now with the fiber and everything else, if in the event of an earthquake, you may have some fiber that's down, so you've lost phones, you may lose electricity, all those things. So,
Audible water is probably the most.
That would be the most important thing. Make sure you got a decent first aid kit that's got plenty of bandages, blankets. This time of year, especially, power goes out. You need to have plenty of warm blankets.
Do you remember when that old boy back in 91, Ivan Browning, did maybe a little young for you when he pronounced that we were gonna have an earthquake on December 3rd, 1991, or something like that.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was gonna be like 8.0 or something, and everybody for 3 months. I was working at the bank at this time.
Right.
And for 3 months prior to that earthquake, well, to the date of the earthquake, we got prepared.
Right.
And actually, it's probably not that bad a thing for some kook to go out and say, hey, an earthquake is going to be here on this particular date, and give what sound like logical reasons for it, because it gets people prepared for the event that it happens some other time, right?
Well, it's like when 2000...
Y2K software. Everybody's computers were going to shut down.
And, you know, everybody was preparing like it was, you know, the end of times as we know it. So I just think in anything like that, whether it be earthquake, whether
nice way
it be
to
weather,
sell air mattresses and water jugs.
I think that just common sense goes a long way. And making sure you have some drinking water, making sure that you have a radio, make sure you have extra batteries. Anymore with cell phones, you know, they have those little portable, my kids have these, you know.
What, trackers?
80,000 gigawatt chargers that you can put in your pocket and charge your phone if it goes dead in the middle of the
day. Oh, the things that look like.
Little battery things.
Look like lipstick or something
like
that.
Yeah, some of them are that way.
Yeah.
My son has one. It looks like a brick. It's big enough he could probably charge the whole house with it. But, you know, those things are very plentiful and very reasonably priced. So you could, if you had two or three of those.
I hadn't thought about that.
If you had two or three of those online, you know, available. I carry a couple of them in my vehicle in a bailout bag that I have, you know, in case we have a long, drawn-out.
Stakeout or something.
Yeah. And I've got something that I can charge my phone. So those things are very readily available nowadays. And, again, they're very reasonably priced. You can get them about anywhere. And,
well, in this time of year, a blanket probably makes sense, too.
Sure.
Just as a staple.
Sure. Like I said,
blanket, flashlight, that kind of thing.
It's just little things that you can do. First aid, flashlight, blankets, water. That will take, and a radio.
Yeah.
A radio that you can use. Those things will take you a long way.
Talking with Mike Everett, he's the Wayne County Sheriff. I don't know how much you can talk about it. It sounds like there was some pretty good investigative work. You had an interesting case of the safe burglary. Can you talk at all about that?
Very little. What I can say on it is that the Deputy Curry.
Deputy Curry behind it, catching it?
He handled that, did a fantastic job.
What was start to finish on that, probably?
Hours.
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty quick. He did a good job with the interviews and did different things on that. Just made it go pretty smoothly. So he did a real good, nice job.
And that's kind of also a reminder probably for folks to be careful of how much cash you keep in your house. You know, that's something that you never know what's going to happen. Right.
Well, and not only how much cash you keep in your house, but how you keep it, where you keep it, who has access to your combinations to safes,
yeah,
different things like that. Because, you know, I don't know necessarily in this instance, but we have a lot of instances where it's family or someone.
It just happens.
A family friend.
It happens. Somebody knows something. Somebody might have said something in passing.
Right.
And folks find out something they maybe shouldn't know.
Right. And, you know, John Doe, I know I'm friends with John Doe, and John doesn't lock his safe unless he's gone for a vacation or something and he carries X amount of cash in his safe. I know he's gone to work today. I'm going to go in and take his money. Just, again, common sense would dictate lock your house, make sure it's good and locked. If you have extreme valuables like that, whether it be jewelry, cash, guns, things of that nature, keep them in a place where people can't get to them.
What do you find?
Make it hard to steal.
What do you find? Do folks keep lockboxes or safes in mainly in homes rather than apartments, I guess? I've got a safe, but really the only reason I have a safe is because it was I inherited it.
Right.
I mean, otherwise I probably wouldn't have one, I guess.
Well, we have one in our basement.
Yeah.
It's was there when we moved into the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, I think more and more you see, especially gun safes.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
Well, gun safes entirely different from cash safes. Cause, I mean, you don't probably.
But I think people keep.
Do people keep cash in their gun safe?
People keep valuables.
Guns in their cash safe.
Right.
Wow.
So I think just, again, common sense goes a long way when it comes to preventing things like that, preventing the burglaries. You know, keep the access to it as limited as you can. Don't put the combination to the safe on the cork board in the kitchen, you know, that sort of thing.
that's a bad thing. You don't think people are going to be in your house. And you can probably put a little piece of paper there on the clip it to the fridge.
Right, or put it on the safe itself.
Put it on the safe itself. This is how I opened this safe. That's probably not the best thing to do.
And I understand why people do sometimes. I forget, you know, with all
the
day and age of passwords and all the things that we have to keep track of now, it's easy to say, oh, so I don't forget it, I'm going to put it right here next to
right.
it, or I'm going to whatever, not thinking that, like you said, anybody's ever going to be in my home that would be willing to do this.
See, now you've got me thinking. We were talking on the radio before you came on that we all changed our passwords out here in the last day or so.
Mm-hmm.
Because, we just want to change to different safeguarding reasons and that kind of thing. Now I know where I put my password. And it's probably not the safest spot, I suspect.
Right. Right. That's, you know, and that's one of the things we see all the time with identity theft and different things. People use simple passwords, birth date, an anniversary, a kid's name, and their birth date, stuff that's easy for people to figure out.
Yeah.
And these folks that are doing this identity theft, the folks that are breaking into your electronic house, so to speak, they're smart. So, you know, be careful where you put that stuff. Be careful what you throw away in the trash without shredding it, whether it be credit card applications, things like that might have vital information on it that people can use. And there are people out there that will go through your trash and get that.
Are there really?
Oh, yes.
You'll see that around.
Huh? Absolutely.
Man, you would think you'd notice that.
You would think, but if you both leave for work that morning and you set the big blue tub out by the...
Yeah, the big blue tub's out at the road right now.
Yeah, the big blue tub out by the road, and you throw your stuff in there and you're gone for the day. Who's going to know? Who's going to know who was by your house and stopped and grabbed one of your bags out to see what was in there?
See, now you're making me paranoid, Mike.
That's not my intention, but just for people to be aware of what could go on.
Well, that's why I have big dogs, I guess.
There you go.
Nobody's going to come try to break into my safe because they'd have to get through two gigantic dogs.
Yeah. You got two small horses in your house.
Well, that's right, too. But they'll lick you to death. That's the bad thing. that's interesting. I hadn't really thought. You don't probably deal so much with identity theft, do you? How much identity theft do you guys even deal with at the sheriff department? Well, do folks call you and tell you what's going on if somebody's trying to scam their money? I guess they do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. We get calls on a regular basis, whether it be they'll call dispatch, you know, just asking, hey, have you had any calls on this? Is it a scam? And our response is usually very steady when it comes to that. As long as you can talk to those folks,
yeah,
hang up on them, whatever, as long as you're not giving them any of your information.
Well, we had a call yesterday or Monday from a lady who was taking a call from somebody, and she'd won the Publishers Clearinghouse.
Right.
Right. And they wanted her to pay them $250 to set up the payment of
right.
the $10,000 a week or whatever until she died.
Right.
And that's just something that it you ought to know better. People ought to know better.
Right.
But you'll hear about folks getting swindled.
Oh.
And when it happens, it's usually somebody who can't afford it. Well,
right.
And who can afford it for that matter these
it,
days?
It has happened so many times here in Wayne County where, you know, people have lost thousands of dollars by doing that.
And the thing is, they make you think you're smart. In that this is the last time I'm going to be doing this. This
right.
is the last $250 I'll need from you. Oh, I'm going to need, by the way, I need another $250 or
right.
something.
Well, and we've even had them that were posing as bill collectors. Like if a husband or wife had passed away, then they will call the remaining spouse.
Oh, my.
And, hey, your wife had this credit card or your husband had this credit card. He owed $5,000 on it. If you don't pay this, then the FBI or local law enforcement is going to get involved, different things like that. And people unknowing and didn't know about the card, well, you know, they wouldn't be lying to me, and I don't want the police, so they will pay. And people have lost thousands
wow.
on threats within a scam.
My goodness. So basically if somebody calls somebody in that type of situation – have them produce documentation, mail me documentation,
right.
mail me proper documentation
right.
for this kind of thing.
And have an attorney, have someone call us, something to verify
it.
What this situation is. We haven't had that terribly often, but it has happened more than once.
Boy, that, you know, once is too often, though.
Right. Once was way too often.
I'm talking to the Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We're talking about all kinds of different things. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. My name is Bruce Dickey. I'm joined across the way by Wayne County Sheriff Mike Everett. We've been talking about a few different things. Tell me a little bit. Last time, it's been a little while since we talked about it. Is this an annual thing you guys do, the pill return?
Yeah, actually, it's twice a year. We didn't do it in the fall this year. I don't remember why, but the DEA does a drug take back day.
Mm-hmm.
And at least once a year, we will sponsor a drug take back day and either have it.
Coming up in 2 or 3 months, right?
It'll be in April, probably.
Yeah.
Usually we do it with the hospital and have kind of a joint thing. But the last couple times we've done it has just been at our office. Now we have the
But you have any time, not just that particular day. You guys will take drugs back from folks anyway.
We have a deposit box there in the lobby at the office. People can come in anytime, day or night, drop off drugs.
And it really is a health issue, isn't it?
It is. Obviously, outdated drugs, you don't want to flush them, gets into the water system. And it's just good to keep that stuff out of the hands of people who might misuse it. So it's nice to have. People will do it after maybe a loved one has passed. They'll bring in all the medications and things of that nature. So it's just good to have, and it's good for people to bring that stuff in.
And it's available at all times, but you do occasionally have the occasional drive.
Right. We'll have a morning, usually a Saturday morning, from 9 to noon or something like that, where people can come to the office.
How much do you get back on some case like that? Seems like last time we were talking, it's pounds.
Oh yeah, this year just in the drop box, we've probably had 80 to 90 pounds in the drop box. And at these,
you know, when you think of pills by the pound,
yeah,
that's a lot of pills.
It's a lot of pills. It's a lot. And we will have, on the drives, we've had as much as 120 to 150 pounds turned in on,
wow,
on some
just
of
just like on a one particular day.
Yep. And the DEA comes and picks it up, and they incinerate it and get rid of it the correct way.
I'll be darned. The reason they kind of all fits together when you talk about the pill return and the reasons you do that for both health reasons as well as to keep potential extras out of the hands of folks who are going to sell them or something like that,
right?
Or take them, abuse them.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of leads you into the darned opioid epidemic that we've been kind of seeing in this area, isn't it? Is that still the fight continues, doesn't it, against that?
It always will, I believe. I think as long as there are prescriptions being written, yeah, I think you're going to have abuse of it in some way, form, or fashion. I don't know. We don't run across a lot of it anymore, as far as on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's not going on a weekly basis, but it's just getting harder and harder to find it. And there may be a month where we'll have two or three arrests for that sort of thing, and then we may go two or three months without having an arrest or seeing it at all. And
that includes because they still have the registration requirements and that kind of things at pharmacies too, right?
Right. So it's something that I don't think will go away. As long as doctors are issuing those prescriptions and people are taking those sorts of pills, whether it be the Oxy or the hydrocodone or things like that, they're always going to get into the hands of people who shouldn't have them, and they're going to get sold or abused one way or the other.
Speaking of starting out as a prescription drug, heroin started out as a prescription drug, and we've talked in the past about how that it's becoming a little bit more prevalent in this area, isn't it? Heroin and bath salts.
The bath salts are horrible.
Tell me what are you seeing and hearing on the bath salts?
They've taken a dip for us here in Wayne County lately. We've had some arrests in the last 6 or 8 months that have really helped that. But I believe they're still, people are still traveling to get them or having them shipped in. Heroin, we had a little bit of trouble with it for a while, but we've not seen a lot of it since the bust in Wayne City here.
Yeah,
however long ago that's been.
About a year now.
A year ago.
Yeah, February.
And so those are things that we've not seen as much of. Not that they're not out there, but we've just not seen as much of it as we were there for a little while.
What do you see on the... You're always kind of trying. You talk to other sheriffs all the time.
Sure.
What are other sheriffs seeing as maybe the future? Are they seeing folks abusing heroin and bath salts more than methamphetamine in the past, or is the methamphetamine making a comeback? They're all incredibly dangerous and just terrible drugs.
The methamphetamine is it comes and goes. You'll think it's making a big comeback, and then you won't see it for a little bit.
Yeah.
Other places, especially places that are a little larger, more populated than we are, maybe closer to a large metropolitan area, you see a lot of the heroin, a lot of it. So that's something that the other sheriffs are concerned about, even so much as they've, you know, there are heroin task forces throughout the state that just deal with the heroin outbreaks in some of these areas.
It's interesting that as you go, I mean, there are 102 counties in the state, right?
Right.
Each different sheriff probably faces the items and the issues that you face aren't really, certainly not the same as somebody in Peoria County.
No.
But they're different even than what Sheriff Meyer's seeing down in White County, or mm-hmm. what the sheriff's seeing up in Richland County. Mm-hmm. It varies. It's an entirely different job wherever you go, isn't it?
It is. You know, a lot of times we have the same issues. We have the same problems.
To different extents.
But just to different extents. Yeah. And you know, geographically, demographically, you see methamphetamine may be huge in this county,
yeah.
But then it's not as big in Jefferson.
Right. And maybe was big in Jefferson, has moved.
Right.
You know,
they may have, you know, we may have a huge methamphetamine issue at one point in time. They may have been having a huge opioid and heroin problem.
Right.
It's just a difference in the demographic population and the ruralness.
Well, I guess it also kind of the way you're talking about it. It's kind of a matter of supply and demand as well.
Sure, sure.
How the economics of a particular mm-hmm. situation affects any another one.
What people can afford to buy, what people can afford to make. Yeah. You know, when you talk about the methamphetamine.
I mean, you're probably looking at a cocaine epidemic in a wealthy town.
Right. That's going to be more prevalent probably than a cocaine outbreak here in Fairfield.
Right.
You know.
But, wow. Well, it's a lot of stuff to think about, isn't it?
It is. A lot.
When's your next trip up to school?
I think the end of February, I believe. Or February or March. Yeah. End of February, 1st of March.
See, that's the thing. You guys are always training more and more, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. We had a meeting with the local mobile training unit. I'm on the board there, and there are so many things that are being mandated, and it's getting worse and worse. The hours that you have to have, the hours that the deputies and the COs are mandated to have every year, it's getting more and more. And it's, again, a wonderful unfunded mandate. You have to do it.
Oh, boy.
But we're not going to give you any money to do it, but we've got to do it. So,
Well, that's
one thing that I did want to address before. I was listening to your radio show here a couple weeks ago, and I believe there was a Mr. Hodges was on here.
Jamie?
Yeah, I believe he was on here. And you guys were talking college basketball.
I'm not certain that are you addressing?
I just wondered how many three-letter agencies I've gotten calls about from the federal government wanting to know about these funsies pools you guys have going on.
You haven't gotten a phone call.
Is that funsies, F-U-N-Z or
F-U-N-D-Z? No, F-U-N-Z. F-U-N-Z.
Andy and I were traveling, and we were listening to that, and we wondered how you split up the funsies at the end of the year.
It's like fantasy football.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's purely legal now. It's not explicitly legal now. It's not like they say it's explicitly legal fantasy football. It's just like that.
It's like playing poker with matchsticks.
That's exactly right.
It's just all for fun.
We've all got peanuts, you know, like in meatballs where they've got the peanuts in the middle of the table.
Sure,
that's what we're playing for.
We assumed that was the case.
I know you did. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
I do appreciate that. All right. You usually give me restaurant recommendations, but I hear you're going to be out of town. You want a restaurant recommendation for Union County?
Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Well, you see, now that's a different, entirely different than what I was
thinking. No, I'm not talking about Anna Jonesboro. I'm talking about Jonesboro, Arkansas.
I've got nothing for Jonesboro, Arkansas. Where is Jonesboro?
In the north, be the northeast corner of the state.
Okay, so it's near...
it's about a 4.5-hour drive.
So it's near Memphis.
No, it's north. It's be northwest of Memphis.
Okay.
Do
you go through Jonesboro on the way to Little Rock?
No, you go down to West Memphis and then cut across to get to Little Rock. You'll get off 55.
Yeah.
You'll get off of 55 before you get to to West Memphis.
I would presume to tell you good barbecue down that direction, but I can't speak to that.
I'm anxious to see. I'll have a restaurant recommendation next month.
See, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the features of the show.
Right.
Whenever Mike's here, the sheriff is here, he brings me a restaurant recommendation.
And I've been sorely lacking the last couple of months.
Well, you've been staying close to home. You've had many things going on.
The holidays have been close to
home. It's the holidays.
That's right.
That's exactly right. You had the big safe. You had to crack the safe and all that kind of stuff. Mike, thanks very much for coming on. I appreciate your monthly visits. Hope you best of luck down in Jonesboro, and we'll talk to you next month.
All right.
Okay,
thanks, Bruce.
That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Talk to y'all tomorrow.